Good morning from Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. And our mission statement of our denomination and our church is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our lay servant, Carrie Gentry, will be bringing us the message this morning. And I am Pastor Sue Platt, worship leader for this morning. I have a few prayer concerns that I want to share with you. We want to keep Carol Walton in our prayer as her husband Fred passed away on Thursday. Al Nickel was in the hospital, is now at home. And a joy that we have is Stephanie and Levi Wilkinson have a new little girl, Ada May. Congratulations. Announcements this morning. For those of you that are part of our congregation, your offering envelopes for 2021 are here at the office. You may pick them up on Christmas Eve from 6:30 to 7, Monday morning, December 28th, from 9 to noon, and then anytime when the office is open. Our Christmas Eve service later this week, we will have a drive up. Come and park your car in the parking lot. You may listen on the radio at 97.7 FM and 660 AM. We will also be caroling at 6:30 before the broadcast at 7:05. And then at the end of the service, we ask that you join us with the lighting of a flashlight, your phone, as we sing Silent Night. Our birthdays and anniversaries this week: Lori Priest, Dorothy Majeski, Janie Wyneth, Linda Schramm, Lori Trumbull, Brandon Baldsby. And anniversary is John and Kim Norton. Congratulations and hope you have a great week. I believe that's all that we have for announcements and birthdays, prayer concerns. Please keep everybody else in your prayers. There's a long list of people that are in need. Now let us take time to quiet our hearts and our minds as we prepare for worship, as we listen to our prelude. Opening hymn this morning is What Child Is This?
Oh,
Let us pray. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may celebrate aright the commemoration of the Nativity and may await with joy the coming in glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Our call to worship this morning. Advent is observed with various traditions and rituals by Christians, including us Methodists. One of the most common traditions involves the use of evergreen wreaths, branches, and trees. Churches and homes are decorated with green to symbolize the eternal life that Jesus brings. An Advent wreath has three or four royal blue or purple candles, but sometimes, such as some churches, such as our Methodist church here, use a rose candle for joy, which we lit last week. The candles are lit one at a time on four successive Sundays prior to Christmas. Candles of love, hope, peace, and joy. On Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, the center white candle is lit. This is the Christ candle, a reminder that Jesus, the light of the Word, has come. I now invite the family of Jim and Sue Platt to come up and light our candle. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We light the angel's candle, the symbol of peace.
Week four of Advent, waiting on the threshold. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 through 11. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all the enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says, 'I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over the people of Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you."
And I will be reading from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, and now is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her.
We live on the brink every day. We stand on the threshold between this world and the next one. We live and move between the ordinary and divine, between the mundane and the mystery. Too often we forget to look up and see the angels in our living room. We forget that the love he give and live is a sign of eternity. God with us right now. We forget that company is coming.
Luke tells us that God's favor came to a girl, an ordinary girl. It might have been you or your daughter. It might have been the girl down the street or your grandchild. The messenger of God came and greeted her and said, "The Lord is with you." What a gift and a promise. Emmanuel, God is with us.
We light these candles with peace in our hearts for the promise of proximity, the nearness of God. Even when we forget to listen, to lean into that presence, God is as close as our own breath. This is a confused and confusing world. It is a peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace that knows that company is coming.
O come, Emmanuel. And now listen to our Advent hymn, our Advent candle.
Light the Advent candle for, think of joy forevermore. Christ child in the stable born, gift of love that Christmas morn. Shining in the cold winter night, candle, candle, burning bright, fill our hearts with Christmas light.
Now let us sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Oh,
invite the children to listen as you're at home. I have a story to tell about an angel. But first I want to ask you, what do you put on top of your Christmas tree? Do you put a star? A star was pretty important in the Christmas story. Maybe you put lights. Maybe you put ornaments. Maybe you put the angel. Whatever you put, it's all a good choice. But we know that that star, that angel that's on top of the tree, is also a very important role in that Christmas story. As you probably know, angels are messengers from God. There was an angel named Gabriel. Many years ago, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to deliver a message to a young virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. The angel appeared to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." We heard that in the scripture reading for the Advent candle. Mary was frightened. She was confused by the angel's greeting. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus." And Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The baby will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary replied, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything happen just as you have said." You know, God could have chosen anyone to give birth to Jesus. But God chose Mary, a young virgin living in a little village of Nazareth. She wasn't very important, but she was important to God. He chose her to do the most important thing that one could imagine. He chose her to give birth to his son. God still chooses unimportant people to perform important tasks. He's given you and me the task of sharing the good news of Jesus and his love to the whole world. In fact, our mission statement says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Can you imagine a more important task? This year, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, let us, like Mary, answer God's call, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." I pray you would talk to your parents about this, or grandparents, that you will say, "God, here I am. Use me that I can serve you." And I pray that you have a great day knowing that God uses ordinary people. Let us pray. Oh, dear God, we thank you for the story that you have given us about Gabriel coming with a message to Mary. We thank you that you have given us the task of taking that message of Jesus Christ being born for us, the good news of his love to all the world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing "There's Something About That Name."
Save us, Jesus, Christ, our Savior.
Before we go to our Lord in prayer, let us remember those that are on our hearts, those that we know that are hurting. And this week, as we pray for the community, we pray for Stoliker's Custom Design. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we just praise you that we can worship you, no matter if we're in the pews in a church, or at home, or in our car. We thank you that we have an opportunity to lift up your name, to share the good news, to be able to know that your presence is with us. Lord, in the midst of all the joys of new birth and the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world, we also have hearts that are heavy. Heavy because of COVID, heavy because of the lack of work, no work, frustrated, angry. Lord, we have all kinds of emotions that go through us. We pray that in this season, we can turn to you to hear the good news, that you came to save us, that you give us an opportunity for salvation, to give us the good news that our sins are forgiven because you died on the cross. You died because you love us. Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers and have mercy on us for our attitudes and our emotions, for those who have died. Give us peace, comfort in our grief, for healing for those who are hurting and have disease or recovering from surgeries or facing surgeries. We pray, Lord, that you give wisdom and discernment for those that are around them and helping them. Keep them safe. Heal them. Lord, we pray. We pray for restaurants. We pray for those that can't be opened yet. Companies that are closing. Life is so difficult, Lord. We ask that you help guide us and lead us and provide for us. We thank you that God is with us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. We just ask, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us, that we can seek you, that we can know your presence is with us, and that we can glorify you by sharing your love and your good news. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our hearts for our scripture reading, let us sing, O come, all ye faithful. victory for bringing the message and giving me the opportunity to kind of gradually get back and be his worship leader this morning. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you. And welcome. It's wonderful to have you back as a liturgist. Not too often does someone get up here and do the message with you sitting out there. Anyway, thank you, God, for having Pastor Sue back. Our reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is the peace of God, and how do I experience it? I think we all hope for peace, but especially during the Christmas season. We hope for peace among nations, enemies, and family members. But the peace that Jesus brings is more profound than that. It's peace between an unworthy sinner and the loving, forgiving, and living God. When we look at a newborn baby, what do we see? We normally see sweetness and innocence, or so we think. In reality, we are born at war. At birth, our sinful nature has already declared war on God and his truth. Our heart's desire is selfish, to be separated from God. We all are just so unworthy. Romans 5, verse 12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. One of the purposes of the law in the Old Testament was to make man understand that he is a sinner and in need of a Savior. God's method of warfare was not what we expected. Instead of a battle and a leader, he sent us a baby, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah's prophecy about the coming Messiah, he says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Jesus' goal in coming to earth was much more than simply to cease hostilities. He came to bring about a full and abiding relationship of restoration and love between God and us. In the eternal nature of things, sin is sin, right is right, God is just, and there can be no mercy apart from justice. Sin must be punished. God himself took upon himself the punishment of man's sin in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he can forgive man's sin and regard those who, in love and gratitude, accept the Savior's sacrifice as possessed of the Savior's own righteousness. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us on the cross. This peace is a gift from God to us. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are restored to a relationship of peace with God. This is the deep, abiding peace between our hearts and our creators that cannot be taken away, and the ultimate fulfillment of Christ's work as the Prince of Peace. But just as we can't force another to be at peace with us, even Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did not ensure that we would accept his terms of peace. Romans chapter 3, verse 10b through 11. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. None of us can accept Jesus' offer of peace through our own will and power. Our natural selves just don't want it. Just what is one to do? Let me ask another. Have any one of you heard an inner voice or had an inner feeling encouraging you to do something or not to do something? But you disregarded it because it was out of your comfort zone. Well then, you have discovered the Holy Spirit within you, and to want peace with him. Only God can lead us to want peace with God. And the Holy Spirit leads us to want Jesus, his message, and his peace. In John 14, verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace that comes from being in a right relationship with God is not the peace of this world. This world's peace depends on having favorable circumstances. If things are going well, then we feel peaceful. When things go haywire, the peace quickly dissipates. So the alternative to being filled with the Spirit and his peace is to be filled with alarm, to be filled with doubt, anxiety, or stress. Those who attempt to find peace in the worldly pursuits will find themselves sadly deceived. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning, after we have received the truth of forgiveness, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of God's judgment and raging lake of fire that will consume his enemies. Oh, how much better to choose, accept, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and perform his work of growing fruit in us to the glory of God. We will discover how much more we love ourselves and others around us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. Now, we can acknowledge the truth about God, that he sacrificed his only Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. What great love he has for us. It's difficult to even comprehend. Can you sense or feel the initial peace that comes over you, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and our consciences wiped clean? What a relief that is. Hebrews chapter 10, 14 through 18. For by that one offering he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. First he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart so they will understand them, and I will write them on their minds so that they will obey them." Then he adds, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." Now, when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. All we have to do is make a choice and accept this wonderful free gift of peace that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has given us, and let the Holy Spirit lead us to have more peace with our Lord to enjoy by drawing us closer to him. This state of friendship with God is a prerequisite for the second kind of peace, that which refers to a tranquil mind or inner peace that we seek. When the God of all peace comes to live inside a believing heart, the Holy Spirit begins to produce his own characteristics in that life. The Holy Spirit will manifest himself in us by having us live in ways we couldn't possibly live on our own, including filling our lives with love, joy, and peace, as in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. These qualities are reflections of his presence in us. Although their deepest, most vital result is to have us live in love, joy, and peace with God and ourselves, they can't help but to spill over into all of our relationships with others. Note that peaceful doesn't mean easy. Jesus never promised easy. In fact, he told us to expect tribulation in John chapter 16, verse 33, and trials in James chapter 1, verse 2. He only promised to help us. Isaiah 26, verse 3 tells us that God will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are focused on him, meaning our minds must center on him and trust in him rather than ourselves or on earthly problems and desires. These are ways to experience God's peace. Peace is experienced when we believe what the Bible says about God's nearness to us, as such as in Psalms 139, verses 1 through 12. Second, his goodness and power. Third, his mercy and love for his children. Four, his complete sovereignty over all of life's circumstances. Five, peace comes from exercising faith in God and his word. Six, We can choose peace when we trust God rather than give way to fear and worry and stress. 7. Inner peace resulting in a relationship with God allows us to keep things in its proper perspective. 8. Peace is experienced as a result of prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 9. A peaceful mind and heart are experienced as a result of recognizing that an all-wise and loving Father has a purpose in all of our trials. In Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. This is very hard to understand sometimes when we have tribulations, trials, and problems in our life. But there it is in Romans 8, 28. When we have peace within ourselves, then we can radiate that peace to others, bringing calmness, comfort, and wisdom to tense situations, and in so doing, be lights in this world. When we develop a lifestyle of making the Lord our refuge, we begin to live in the peace of God. Psalm 91, verse 1 holds the secret to living in the peace of God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. That secret place in our hearts is where we go to meet with God. When we choose to live there and hide away under His shadow, staying in constant communion with Him, we can remain peaceful, even when circumstances may not be what we want them to be. When we learn to cry out to Him in times of trouble, we find that His peace really does pass all human understanding, as in Philippians 4, verse 7. In closing, all I can say is, God's supernatural peace surpasses our natural understanding. Let me give you an example. A cancer patient who experiences a remission of the disease proclaims, "I am so thankful to God." That is praise. Another cancer patient who is dying and in pain calmly says, "Everything is all right. I claim Romans 8, verse 28, and I have peace in my heart." Now that is the peace that passes all understanding. Can you see the difference between those two examples? The Prince of Peace is coming soon. Are you ready? May God's peace be with you, each and every one of you, and I wish all of you a Merry Christmas.
Let us sing our doxology.
Thank you.
God, you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift. And now we give these gifts back to you, that we honor you, that we glorify you, and that we can find peace in this world. Amen. Let us sing our closing song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. I'm so grateful to be back in the sanctuary and to be with you. I pray that you will come and be a part of our Christmas Eve service in the parking lot, knowing that Christ is everywhere and he is with you. May you have a Merry Christmas and come and let us celebrate his birth. Go forth with God's peace. Amen.
Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul a thrill of hope. The weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Faith serenely be. with glowing hearts. By his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from the Orient land. The King of Kings lay in lowly manger with all our tribes, born to be our friend. When Christ was born.